You could have been a supporter of any football team. You could have been, you could have been, you could have been. You could have been following the champions of the Champions League. You could have been, you could have been, you could have been. What's all this stuff you're giving us? There's just one team for me, and that's the town where I come from. In Bromley, in Bromley, in Bromley.
Hello everyone and welcome back to another episode of Ravens Weekly. My name is Matt Hall and as always on these podcasts I am joined by Josh Tindall. Josh, how are we?
Very good, Matt. How are you?
Yes, very well, thank you. And even better with the recent run of results that we've had. We're now 10 unbeaten and Saturday will see us take on Gateshead, who occupy third place in the Vanarama National League table, to see if we can make it 11 games unbeaten. But that's sure to be one of our toughest tests yet. They're one of the top scorers in the league and do sit above us on goal difference. And then on Tuesday, we travel to Chesterfield, who are currently top of the table, meaning that we will have played the current top three by that point. Solihull, Gateshead and Chesterfield.
I don't think that's right.
Hang on a second.
I think Barnet are up there.
I'm fact checking now. Can we have like some music here to just, you know, like when you're on call to a very well-known insurance company in particular, and you just get that music where you're on hold for ages. Can we have that?
Yeah, I think we should.
Right, I'm trying to do it now. You are right.
Barnet.
But we have played Barnet already. So my point still stands. We will have played the top four by that point. We are currently fifth in the table, like I say. No points behind Gateshead, but 14 goals behind them in terms of goals scored. However, we do have a better defence. So it's going to be an interesting game, level on points with one another. Both teams in a fantastic run of form. And both teams coming back into this game off the back of a win. Bromley at Eastleigh, or against Eastleigh, I should say, a clean sheet. And Gateshead winning 4-0 away to Oxford City. A brilliant result and also a clean sheet. It's going to be a good game.
It is indeed, and I think obviously as well Marcus Dinanga,
yes, absolutely banging in the goals. He's got 10 goals in 11 games.
I thought it was 11 in 12.
It might be.
I'm going to check that as well. It's a good thing that we prepare for this.
It is a good thing that we prepare.
Pretty sure,
and we don't at all try and sandwich these things in.
No. Not
at all. This is our whole day.
He's got 11 in 12.
He's got 11 in 12. All right,
he's
all right.
He's going to be the stat man.
All right, stat man. There we go. Do you want to come and sit over here?
In the hot seat.
Right, anyway, congratulations goes out to our under-21s who had a 4-1 victory on Friday night and they play again this Saturday away to Hartley Wintney. So congratulations to the under-21s. That is a brilliant result. And Josh, it's fair to say it just caps off a brilliant few weeks for the under-21s.
Yeah, they just keep winning, don't they? I think it's good that sort of ever since the under-21 season started and the women's season started, we've picked up as well. The men's team have picked up as well, and it's good to see all of our, you know, seniorish teams doing well all at the same time.
Indeed it is, and long may that continue. It's been absolutely brilliant to see the under-21s in such good form, and like we say, hope that continues. Congratulations to Jamel and all the players. Now let's move on to the first team, who were away at Solihull on Saturday. Now Solihull were unbeaten all season at that point, and Bronny made the trip up to the Midlands to try and change that. Josh, we were faced with challenges at the announcement of the team sheet, really, or you know, in public eyes then, in our eyes before that, Michael Cheek unavailable, Josh Pasley missing, and then, of course, 30 minutes into the game, Louis Dennis going off injured.
Yeah, I mean, I think it shows why we, you know, signed those players on loan, and it's to give us a bit more depth. Obviously, at the start of the season, we struggled quite a bit with injuries and not really having anyone sort of stepping in, but, you know, the players that did come in did well. Obviously, Louis going off wasn't great, but Kido did well in his pace. And
got the assist, didn't he?
He did, yeah.
A little bit fortuitous, but the run was there, and obviously the ball took a ricochet, but ultimately it's ended up in the back of the net. What a goal for Ben Crowhouse.
Yeah, he'll be happy that he's finally got his goal this season. Obviously he scored last season, didn't he, against Dagenham, but... yeah, he'll be happy to be off the mark now.
Congratulations to him. He's been putting in some brilliant performances this season as well. Now, the weekend ended in unbeaten fashion. As you say, Josh, you've categorised them there as Bromley's three kind of senior teams, with the under-21s, the first team and the women's first team. Congratulations to the women who eclipsed both of those results on Sunday with a 5-1 win against Montpellier Villa. And Bryony Hart scored twice. Beth Hull added a further two. And Charlotte Lee, who is just the goal machine, that's the only way to say it, added a further goal to make it five. Well done to them. They're in fantastic form as well. There's just no stopping the club at the minute, is there?
No, it's weird. And I mean, even the academy sides are doing well, and the youth academy sides are doing well as well. And yeah, it just seems like everyone's... you know, on a bit of a roll at the minute.
Indeed, they are. Well, long may it continue, like we've been saying, and fingers crossed we get some more positive results across the weekend. Good luck to all of those teams.
We also had a game Tuesday night.
Tuesday
games are here.
Let the fun and games begin, Josh.
The hectic schedule.
Let the fun and games begin. It was a Tuesday night game, like you say, and it was Eastleigh who visited the Relocatum Community Stadium. And Eastleigh, if you remember, we talked about it on the commentary, myself and Dan Bentley on the night. For a long period of time, were very much a bogey team for Bromley. And that period went on for around 10 years. And we hadn't beaten them during that time. And that kind of changed in the past couple of years. And I think you put out the tweet, we'd been unbeaten in five against them.
That's just our security guy, Ted, just barging in this room.
Here we
Ted,
go.
We're live.
Ted in the house.
But say hi to the people.
Hello to the people.
No, come right to the mic, Ted. Don't be shy.
He needs his moment.
Hello to the people.
There he is.
The Bromley Massive.
That's it. There we go. You know, we have unexpected things happen on this podcast. Yeah. It's not always plain sailing, and it's not always, you know, your script, Josh, that gets us through. Sometimes it's just Ted coming into the media room unannounced.
I think we should have a section every week of Ted's just
I think we
interruption.
Should. Ted should come in and just announce himself in a different way every week. He's left the room now.
He has, yeah.
But he's left behind the smell of cologne. Or, I don't know.
Cologne.
What else could it be?
He has got quite a nice...
It's a very nice aftershave.
It is
a very nice aftershave. I'm going to ask him what that is later. That's on my Christmas list already. But in all seriousness, talking about that trip for Eastleigh, it was five games at that point. We were looking to make it six that Eastleigh hadn't beaten Bromley in. And we did just that. It was a 1-0 win on the night. Chinnacoli with the header from a brilliant corner from Lewis Lee. But ultimately, Josh, it could have been a few more.
Yeah, which is surprising considering, you know, Eastleigh haven't had the greatest starts to the season, but they've still got a strong team. Obviously, they've got Paul McCallum up front, who everyone knows he's a threat. Chris Maguire, he's... you know, he causes problems. Obviously, probably should have got booked on Tuesday night. And they've just always had a strong team. And like you said, we struggled against them for a while, I think. I think I remember, didn't we lose 3-2 at home once? It was like a last-minute winner from them or something, I think.
Yeah, we've also lost 5-0 to them at home before, which hasn't been too pleasant. We've had a lot of trips down to the Silver Lake, which haven't ended well. And, you know, the best we were able to get were a couple of draws, really.
Yeah.
But yeah, it looks like...
In recent history, we've done all right.
Yeah, it looks like we've sort of... Ghosts have been exercised a little bit there. I think the first win, actually, of this kind of period, as we're calling it, was back in the COVID season, where Jack Holland levelled it up for Bromley despite going 1-0 down. And I think it was Courtney Duffus scored a last-minute winner in front of an empty Silver Lake Stadium. We were obviously there doing the media. And Eastleigh were playing the crowd noise, but they didn't just play it for the goals. They played crowd noise throughout the whole game. And occasionally, the stadium announcer would just... You could just see him up the volume a little bit, you know, when there was a throw-in or something like that. And sometimes a throw-in would be the same cheer as a goal.
Yeah, I had that, to be fair. I worked at one of the Gillingham games against Burton Albion, I think. Every time there was a corner, it was like... There was just this massive cheer.
Yeah.
That is so weird.
It's weird, isn't it? Like, it's unsettling.
That's all in the past now.
But even when we got our 90th minute winner, the crowd, in inverted commas, the crowd cheered.
They're still celebrating the fact.
Well, maybe, you know, Roy Oliver's going to enlighten us with some history about throw-ins and kick-ins.
Exactly.
Actually, I think that might be on the agenda, just saying that, actually.
You know what? It's funny you should say that, because in the programme, John Self actually did a piece.
Did he really?
Kick-ins.
Did he really?
I think it was Tuesdays, yeah.
Well, there we go. Between them, Roy Oliver and John Self, just giving us the history of this football club. And there are others as well. Thank you to you all. Much appreciated. Anyway, it was a 1-0 win. Thank you to Chin Akoli and his headed goal from a Lewis Lee corner. And we've got to say, despite all of the chances that Bromley had, Grant Smith with two world-class saves. And even if Bromley had scored those chances or even scored one more of them, it could easily have been 2-2 because Eastleigh had two very good chances that were denied by Smith.
Yeah, that save right at the end. I mean, we saw that. It was a Kidderminster, wasn't it, right at the end as well. But that's just what he does. He keeps his cool. He knows what he's doing. And you can tell he really wanted to keep that clean sheet. But yeah, and you mentioned earlier about Lewis Lee. He had an unbelievable game as well. I think he picked up a knock at the end, but no, he was, yeah, really, really good on the night.
Absolutely. And people were drawing comparisons, even at the Solihull game, to him and Ryan Stark. Mm. What do you think?
Yeah, no, he's one of those midfielders that just, you know, causes problems, you know, sort of like to get everywhere on the pitch. But I don't know, some of the passes that Lewis was making on Tuesday is probably, you know, balls that you're
outrageous
seeing in the Championship and stuff, which is why he plays for Preston. But I think that's something that Ryan Stark didn't really do, whereas I think Lewis Lee's probably got that ability to go, you know, from the edge of his own box and play a ball right up to Michael Cheek and he'll find him. So I think that's something that we've been missing, and that's probably one of his better qualities.
Well, now let's look ahead to the game we talked about a bit earlier on. The visit of Gateshead, who currently sit fourth in the table on 22 points, level with fifth place Bromley, but with a superior goal difference, as we've said, a considerable amount of goals scored, but their defence is also not quite as good as ours so far in terms of the numbers this season. They have also lost two games. They haven't lost since the 26th of August. So it'll be over a month since Gateshead lost. That was a 3-1 home defeat to Woking. Since then, they have drawn three matches and they have won four matches. And actually, in their last three games, they have not conceded a goal and they have scored 10 goals. 3-0 victories against Kidderminster, Harriers and Maidenhead United, followed by a 4-0 win against Oxford City. That is quite something.
It is, but at the same time, you know, with complete respect to the teams they were playing, it's not too much of a surprise that, I think it's more of a surprise that they've done it consistently over three games, but I think for a team like Gateshead to keep clean sheet against, you know, Kidderminster, Maidenhead, it's not too much of a surprise, but I think they'll be coming up against stronger opposition on Saturday and, you know, stronger players that are going to cause more issues than they've faced in the past few weeks.
Well, it's Marcus Dinanga, Stephen Wern and Greg Olley that Bromley have got to look out for. But all round, very, very strong Gateshead team. Certainly the strongest Gateshead team I think I've seen. They were. And of course, we played them during their peak, yeah, really. And we brought that run to an end, didn't we, with a 3-0 win at the Gateshead International Stadium. And no one saw that coming, really. The Gateshead fans were very surprised that we won that game. But anyway, it's sure to be a brilliant game. You can be here by getting your tickets online at bromleyfc.co.uk or popping into the club shop tomorrow. That's Friday, between the hours of 9 a.m. and 5 p.m. You can also get your tickets early doors on Saturday. However, prices do go up after midnight on Friday by £2. So best to get your tickets in advance. And if you want to make a late decision to come down to the game, you can also get tickets on the turnstiles. But it's sure to be an entertaining one. Don't miss it. And if you can't can't make it, we will, of course, be bringing you the commentary live on Mixlr through Bromley FC Live and also on National League TV for those of you that like to tune in and watch. Josh, looking forward to that one. Another person who's looking forward to it is Andy Woodman. Shall we hear from him?
Yes, let's.
Andy, welcome back to Ravens Weekly. It's been another positive week. And that started, let's start off at the weekend, away to Solihull, going into a team that were unbeaten, in really good form, missing a couple of key players as well. So that was the first challenge, I guess.
Yeah, good result. I think you look at it in one breath. I look at it as a missed opportunity, really. I thought they was there for the taking. But we had our own problems as well, with Cheeky's wife having the baby and Louis getting a little niggle. So I shouldn't be too disappointed with that in one breath, but I just want to win every game. So we was back on it Tuesday, but it was a good point away from home.
Ben Crowhouse with the goal, and you've talked about moving him into that number eight role, and he's just excelling there at the minute, isn't he? He just seems to be getting better each week.
Mill Smith Rowe, told you. He's a Mill Smith Rowe. I'm telling you, he's that good. He's got everything going on, Ben. And I'm really chuffed for him because he's working hard and he's been patient, he's waited, and he's took his opportunity. And he's just getting better and better every week. And I mean, I'm enjoying his development. I'm sure the people watching him are. I'm really enjoying seeing him develop as a since I've been here, develop from a young boy to now a young man. His personality's coming out and it's coming out on the pitch now, and it's lovely to see. And I'll make no secret of it, I couldn't quite work out what his best position was before this season. Even the summer, I was like, I can't see him as a wide man. He's got into the eight, he's been brilliant, and I'm really chuffed for him.
You talk about patience. There's been a few more players that have had to show quite a lot of that. Low knees that have come in recently, they've had to bide their time a little bit. And two of those are Lewis Lee and Kido Taylor-Hart, and they've now come into the side at that Solihull game and then started on Tuesday night, and there are a lot of rave reviews out there about their performances.
Yeah, I don't think we should get too carried away. They did okay. That's me trying to dampen them down a little bit so they keep their feet on the floor. But there was two good performances. Look, they're two good players, two really good players. And we've got two or three other good players waiting to get in the team. So, you know, I think we've recruited well in the loan market. I think we've recruited well in the summer with what we got available to us. And those boys have waited patiently. And I've had two or three others knocking on my door today in the right manner. You know, they want to get in the team and they're trying to see how they can get in the team. And that's what we want. We want everyone really hungry to get in the team, and the ones that are in the team really hungry not to lose their shirt. And Lewis, I thought, was excellent the other day. I thought he played really well, tired a little bit towards the end, which is natural, first 90 minutes for a bit. And Kido, you can see Kido's one of those players that can just get you on your feet. And I'm hoping there's more to come from Kido. I'll tell you that now. That was just a glimpse of him. I've known him for 5 years at Arsenal, so I know he's got. And I really hope at some point everyone gets to see what I've seen for 5 years, because he really is a talented player.
Very exciting, and like you say, we caught glimpses of that at Solihull with the assist and also on Tuesday night. And that was a performance where it finished 1-0. In all honesty, could have been quite a few more.
Yeah, it could have been. I mean, it could have been and should have been. But look, those nights don't always go the way you want. And I thought we looked in control. I thought we dealt with them quite well. They had a little moment where our goalie, Grant, made another good save. Which we was grateful for, by the way. It was a really good save. But I felt we was in control. And I don't want to say this because I don't want to be disrespectful. I felt we knew we had another couple of gears to go up if we wanted to, which I'm not an advocate of, you know, teams trying to play like that. But I just felt we was in control all night, and we just didn't put our chances away. So yeah, it was a good performance, and it would have been nice if we could have got two or three, but you're not always going to do that. I said the other night, and I say it again, I'm more chuffed with a clean sheet. That's what successful teams are built on.
A couple of loanees going out recently, Sam German going to Herne Bay and Marcus Sablier going to Lewis. Thoughts on those loans?
Well, Sam's a young boy that's been chomping at the bit now, probably way ahead of his time, and that'll do him good to get some games down there. With a good manager who, you know, knows football, and will help him as well. So I'm glad for Sam. And Marcus, I must make it clear, Marcus needs to play football, and he's gone to Lewis. He's done brilliant. He's got man of the match the other night. He's playing with a smile on his face. And I want people to realise this is not me pushing him out the door. This is me telling them they've got to play football. You know, there's no good training week we're not playing. So, you know, they need to build up those games to learn on the job. And Marcus has had two really good games there, and I hope he has many more now and really kicks on, because he's a good player, we know that. And it seems like a good fit at the moment, so hopefully he can continue his form and build up his confidence and his game time.
We talked a few weeks ago about Mitchell Bergkamp and the situation with him and his injury. How is Mitchell at the moment? How are things going there?
We've let Mitchell have a bit of time off. He's gone back to home, to Holland, with his parents. We felt that was the right thing to do. He's seeing a professor. And that's all I can really tell you. I'm not keeping anything from you. It's just a time sort of thing we've got to wait for and just keep going through the motions with him. I think the most important thing isn't football at the moment for Mitch. It's just making sure that he's right. So we haven't seen Mitch for a week. If we felt it'd be good for him just to have a bit of time, just forgetting about the pressures of football, getting fit, and just have a bit of time, family time, and then he's going to see the professor, I think, Tuesday. And it's going to be a slow burner. It's, you know, we're sort of governed now by the professor, the neurologist.
And also, to add to that, Adam Marriott suffered an injury in training a few weeks back. What's the latest on Adam?
Yeah, that was a complete freak. Friday sort of afternoon training session where we were travelling up to... I'm not sure where we were going.
Was it
Altrincham? Yeah, sorry. And literally, we thought he was messing about. He literally just run for a ball, and we thought he'd gone over and he was messing about trying to get a penalty. And he'd got quite a nasty injury. I think he'd torn the groin muscle off the bone. So he was operated on the other day. And he'll be some months, Adam, for a bit. He won't probably see him for 3 months, I'd have thought, which was a blow. And we've been unlucky, haven't we, with the forwards at the moment. You know, we've got Sol's waiting for a surgery on his knee. He'll be out for the season.
We've had a couple of other, I guess, shorter-term injuries as well. You talked about Louis coming off against Solihull. He missed Tuesday's game. How's he doing?
Yeah, everyone's fit. Everyone's great to go. Because I know Robbie Elliott will be watching this. We're all fit. We've got a whole full fit squad. Everyone's available. So tell Robbie Elliott not to worry.
Okay, let's hope they enjoy their hotel as well. Talking of that...
He's been texting me last night. Some of the banter between me and Rob. I mean, we're just completely lying to each other, you know, with everything we're saying. We have not had one honest conversation now for 10 days, me and Rob. He's like my son almost, like Rob. I took him to Newcastle, had him at Charlton. I had him since 18. And he's asking how I am around the houses, how the family are. And I'm asking around the houses how he is. But basically, we were trying to find out who's fit in each other's squads. So we're all fit, Rob. We're all good to go. Everyone's fit. I'm making a comeback.
I was just going to say, you're very good friends with Mike Williamson as well.
Yeah,
and Rob Elliott. It's going to be a weird dynamic, I guess.
No, I'll be round with them on the line. They know that. They're expecting that. I'll be rucking with them on the line. Look, they're good guys. I've worked with them for 5-6 years. I've known Robbie since he's 18. I was fortunate enough to be Robbie's coach when he was at Charlton, broke him through into the first team. And I've been on the journey with Robbie right through his career, which has been lovely to see. He's a top fella. And let me tell you, a top goalkeeper. You know, a lot of people raised eyebrows when I signed him at Newcastle for £200,000. It was the best £200,000 Newcastle ever spent. He played over 100 games for them in their first team and was number one for a long period. And he'd done brilliant. So Robbie's a great guy, you know, and Mike obviously had a fantastic time at Newcastle as well. So they're two good guys, yeah. And they're doing a great job.
I was just going to say they're having a fantastic time so far this year, playing some great football. It's sure to be a good game on Saturday between two informed teams.
I'm going to give him no credit at all, Matt. All right? But enough of that, Gator. Let's talk about Bromley.
In all seriousness, though, you look at the past two games, it's a different kind of test, isn't it, I guess, in the way that Gateshead play their football?
Yeah, look, it's no secret. They like to pass it about. They like to move you about. They like to draw you out of areas you don't want to be drawn out of. All of that. And everyone's tried to sort of stop it and go in a different way of doing it. Look, I just want to remind people, we've played them twice and I think we've beaten twice, haven't we? Or do we
drew one.
So look, we know what we're coming up against. We just got to be... any team that plays against that system, I know that we should get confused. It's like something new. It's a system that you've either got to have a team that's disciplined and all on the same page without giving too much away. And when all on the same page and you're disciplined, like we are, we should be okay. You know, we'll have a game plan like every other game. And the flip side of that, look, we ain't so bad ourselves. We played some good stuff the other night, and we've played some good stuff for a little while now, which is kind of going under the radar, which I've got no problem with. So I'm sure teams are worrying about us a little bit more than probably we give credit for. So we've kind of, we know what they're about. I don't think that's no secret. And I think we just got to concentrate on what we're doing. I mean, we're a good team. We're a good team.
And I know it's all about feet on the ground, and that's the mentality you put into the players. What's the mood like around the place at the moment with the players?
Yeah, very good. I've got a really, I keep saying it, I've got a really good group of players. They don't never feel that one win's enough, two win's enough, three win. We haven't got that sort of mentality here, which I'm really glad about. So, you know, I think we've had, how many wins? 6 out of 7 and a draw. I know that that won't be enough for them. So, and that's a mentality I want to create here, and I've wanted to create. And so they won't be thinking about what's gone before. That's all gone. We have got a little say in the meetings when we come to an end of a game and the result's gone, and we sort of brief it. I kind of dismiss it. That's gone, and in my own way, which Lewis Lee will laugh about every time I say in Chinny. And then we move on to the next one, because that's history. So we've got a good bunch like that. They'll be focused on this game now Saturday. So will Gateshead. And we've just got to make sure we go out and do our stuff and take care of our business. That's the big thing. We have to keep taking care of our business. Not worry about Gateshead, Chesterfield, York. Just take care of our business.
Well, we're very much looking forward to it. Andy, thanks for your time.
Brilliant. Thanks as always, guys.
It's time, everyone, for Community Corner. There we go. See, Andrea just can't believe how good we are.
Oh, it's better than the owl.
She's like, oh, take a step back. And thank you for deafening certain members of the population in Bromley, Josh, and around the surrounding areas.
People wanted the buttons, so they're getting the buttons.
They're getting the buttons. Particular Paul Richard wanted the buttons. Paul, I'm not sure I'm thanking you at this point. Because Josh has turned up the volume very loud and is now pressing buttons. It's not the only buttons he's pressing, let me tell you that. So anyway, we're delighted to be joined. That was good.
That was delayed.
That was a bit late.
Come on, say that again. I'll do it properly.
It's not the only buttons Josh is pressing. There we go. We're getting good at this. We are. Anyway, our guest is looking less than impressed at this point. So let's bring her in. It's Andrea Reyes. Andrea, how are you?
Slightly deaf.
Your ears have taken a bit of a batter in there. Don't worry.
Yeah. Just a reminder to everyone listening, this is what I have to deal with most days of the week.
Well, you know, feel for me having to present this podcast. You know,
I know, shocking. What episode number is this?
It's 100 and, it's 100 and what is it? 127?
128?
130
something.
Oh, okay. Oh. Well, Josh hasn't been around for all of them.
No.
No, of course not.
I've been around for some of them, but yeah. Anyway,
we should redo the first ever episode.
We should bring it back.
Stick it out.
And see how far we've come backwards or forwards. I don't know.
Well, we've gone up in the world with mics, haven't we? So
I thought you were going to say we've gone up in the world with having you on here.
Obviously, that's
without
saying.
Well, that goes without saying.
Yep.
That goes without saying. Anyway, as your phone falls out your pocket there, this is all going very well, ladies and gents. Andrea, we're going to catch up with you about a few things. And the first of those was that we in the Community Trust were delighted to take part in the Spirit of Bromley Week, which was held in the Glades, the central atrium just outside M&S and Costa last week. And we invited some partners along, didn't we? Rotary Club and London Biggin Hill Airport. How did it go?
Yeah, it was really good. We went to the Glades, as you say, as part of their Spirit of Bromley. So really good to go and kind of be involved with the community, because after all, that's what we do, work with the community, and just talk to people about the things that we've got on, because sometimes people aren't fully aware of everything we've got going on because we're a bit hidden away off the beaten track. But as you said, it was great to have some of our partners. So Christine from Rotary, who obviously attends Raven's Chat, massive supporter of the club, should be here.
She's also a massive supporter of Quiz Night.
Big
up Christine. We're going to get her on the podcast soon.
Can't wait.
Big up Christine. She's going to be assisting us along with the lovely Caroline at the Quiz Night tonight. So big up Christine and Caroline.
Big up Christine. Christine, big love.
That went on a lot longer than I thought it would.
Oh, yeah, I mean,
she's good.
I know.
She is that good.
She is that good.
That went on a lot longer than I thought.
Yeah, so it's great to meet Christine, and she had some other people as well coming along from Rotary Club, so it was really good to speak to them as well. And of course, we had London Biggin Hill Airport, which was brilliant as our lead sponsors for women and girls provision. Really good to have them there. Had some interest in their community newsletter that they had there, and they've got their Futures Week coming up. I think you can still apply. That's a really good opportunity for young people in the borough to be able to do some work experience at the airport. So really good to get that profile out there, and spoke to a lot of people about the things that we do, and they were quite pleasantly surprised.
And it was great to have the support of not only Rotary Clubs, not even just Biggin Hill Airport as well, but the first team players who came down, and the very special guest, Ronan the Raven.
Ronan the Raven, I know. Fantastic.
He was in great form, wasn't he?
He was in brilliant form, absolutely brilliant form. For a moment, I thought, you know, what's happened to him? He's just spread his wings. It's unbelievable. He's made it to the Glades. Yes, it was great to have the players down as well, because obviously for them, they know that, you know, the club is more than just obviously them playing, but also the things that we do in the community. So it's great for them to come down, appreciate that, and meet the people that we're involved with as well.
Talking of London Biggin Hill Airport, we were delighted to be joined by Matthew, by Colin, and Hannah. Of course, Hannah Gray, the former mayor of Bromley, and a brilliant advocate for London Biggin Hill Airport and their community work as well. They have done a lot more with us than just that event at the Glades, haven't they? We announced our partnership at the Maidenhead United game on the 9th of September.
Yep.
And their support has been fantastic, particularly for your area of work, which is women and girls. And they've now become the lead partner for that. What does that mean to people who may not know?
So the lead partner with Biggin Hill Airport, they have, I guess for us, it's... We've used each other, not in a bad way, we've used each other to kind of, we're aiming for the same audience. We believe in what they're doing. They believe in what we're doing. We've got a very similar ethos. So to work with an organisation that's so reputable, and for anyone who doesn't know about what Biggin Hill Airport does, it's more than just the airport.
I mean, it's like us, more than just football, isn't
absolutely.
It?
Absolutely. This is an environment where they foster relationships with the local community, and they support children and other aspects of the community and other charities as well to sort of promote opportunities. There's been some really great stories. Hannah was telling me about a young boy that had come along, and he was interested in... He knew that he wasn't going to get into the RAF. That was his ultimate dream, but for other reasons, he wasn't able to do that. But Biggin Hill found a way to actually, first of all, get him to volunteer and kind of build up his catering skills and his other skills as well to help him in the workplace. And now he's working there in a paid role, you know, and that's sort of life changing.
That's what it's all about.
Absolutely. And, you know, it makes the hairs on the back of your neck stand up, actually, that you've got that kind of impact to make a positive difference to someone. And that's very similar to us as well. So for Biggin Hill to be our partners and our lead partners, they're our friends, as well as someone. It's not just about having a name as a sponsor. It's about actually developing a meaningful relationship.
We like that word.
We do like that
meaningful word.
That's
everything we do is meaningful.
Absolutely.
And actually, that coincided with the update to the Women and Girls Strategy, which came out. And it's clear to see that within that year, and that is with the support of Biggin Hill, who joined us part of the way through that period and the impact that they've made, as well as the impact of what you're doing in the Community Trust and your team as well.
Yeah, it's been a really, really busy year since we launched that last year. Really proud of everything that everyone's put into it. I think I've said before about, you know, it's not just about one person, it's about a whole team, coaches, parents, the community team as well as a whole. So lots of things to be really proud of. Increased our participation. That was one of our things we wanted to really provide. One of our strategic aims was football for all. So we obviously have the academy here and the women's team, but we're looking at how we can develop our pathway. So there's competitive elements, but also we're looking at getting those, not just girls, but women as well, into recreational football. So that includes giving opportunities to women of all ages to come along and play football. Our most recent project that we started was women's walking football. So you have to be over 40 for that. So I'm safe. I'm all right to go to that.
No.
Yes, I know. I know. Did I tell you how old? No. It's just, it's really, really lovely actually, because I got an email today from someone that came for the last 2 weeks, and she's got herself a little bit injured, and she emailed to tell me that she wasn't going to come because she did get injured, but she wanted me to know that actually she was absolutely chuffed that she was injured.
I saw that one. Yeah.
Yeah. She said, because I'm chuffed I was injured from playing football. So, you know, something that she'd always wanted to do.
She said she hadn't done since school.
Absolutely. Yeah. So, you know, incredible. And that's amazing. So, and big shout out actually to the women's walking football, the Bells women's walking football, who went to Southend-on-Sea last Sunday to take part in their first tournament. So they've only been together a few months. There's a full match or tournament report on the BromleyFC.org website. A lot of brave women there.
I was going to say, keep an eye on the match day programme this Saturday.
Yeah.
There's some information on that. And well done to the women's walking football team, but also the Bells had a match, didn't
we
they?
We did.
On Sunday.
Yes. Oh, I'm glad you brought this up, Matt. Glad you have. Yeah.
Oh, this is Andrea's footballing showcase self-promotion bit now. She was on top form.
I was on top form. Match day 2 of the Kent FA Women's Casual League. And I'm glad to say, as you know, we have Bells Red and Bells White, two teams entered, and it's a mini league of 8 teams, and we play each other in a bi-weekly league. And I play for Bells Red, so big shout out to Bells Red. Well done to Bells White as well, but Bells Red won this week.
That is good. And come on.
Okay, all right.
Come
okay.
on.
All right, so.
We all want to hear this.
Scored a goal.
You got an assist, didn't you?
I did, I got an assist, yeah. And I'm just putting it out there as well. First ever league goal.
Wow. I think that deserves one of these. Oh, no.
Oh,
that's all
sorry,
gone.
Sorry.
That's all gone horribly
that
wrong.
That is really,
Come
really
on.
Unfortunate.
You know what it deserves. Come on. Let's do this right. He's looking very nervous now. This is a very long round of applause. There we go.
I think that's standing ovation
that
territory,
is, well,
isn't it?
I was just going to say, as that went on, Andrea did stand and turn to every corner of the room and, you know, give them a little clap there.
I think, you know, it was 48 years in the making.
Incredible.
So thank you. Thank you, Bells. Thank
very,
you,
very
Nike,
pleased.
For the assist as well.
Very
return
pleased.
The favour. But, yeah, in all seriousness, it's crazy because, obviously, not played league football before, and having that opportunity was really great. So I enjoyed that one.
Well done to you. Well done
Thank
to
you.
Bells Red and White and the Women's Walking Football Team.
Thank you.
And brilliant to hear about the work with London Biggin Hill Airport. And of course, the Glades as well. We'd like to extend our sincere thanks to Will Greenland and the team at the Glades for accommodating us as part of the Spirit of Bromley Week. It was a real pleasure to be out there and engaging with members of the community and seeing a few familiar faces as well walk past and have a chat to us, which was great. Andrea, thank you for your time. And we look forward to being back with you soon.
Thanks, Matt.
Yeah, great tip from Andrea there.
Fantastic. Really it's nice good. To have Andrea on. It was very good, even if the buttons and the sounds were a bit questionable.
Oh, well, you know, you can't win, can you?
It's all part of the fun. It's all part of the fun.
Josh, we need the buttons. Josh, we don't need the buttons. Like,
you got to give the people what they want, Josh.
Exactly. So I did.
But the people want the buttons, but not for too long.
Okay, true.
There
I
we go.
I did download the extended applause version.
I think, you know, I think I think Andrea deserves that, but it was very, very long. But anyway, a reminder, we touched on it earlier, tonight is quiz night, and we're very much looking forward to that. You can be involved in our, Josh was going to press a button again there. You can get involved with our community quiz night, which is the last Thursday of every month, by visiting our Broomfields Bar and Kitchen Universe page or the club website, whichever you prefer, and you can book your team in there. It's teams of six, and it's a whole load of fun. First prize is £100 in cash. Second prize is a £50 voucher for Broomfields Bar and Kitchen. And third prize is a bottle of Prosecco or wine or whatever you'd like from behind the bar. So do come along and get involved. It is also in aid of the Community Trust and to support the Community Trust. And of course, we work to improve lives of people in Bromley. So thank you to all of you who've supported so far. And someone who's going to be present at that quiz night tonight, and we'll drop that in there with him, is Mr. Roy Oliver.
Got the intro?
Still don't have the intro.
No, we don't. We need to get someone to do it. Maybe Paul Richard could get his old DJ kit out. And
Pink sunshine.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. We are recording, by the way.
Oh, brilliant.
Yeah, so you can just go straight in.
This is just brilliant.
May as well just.
We just talk about rubbish for two hours.
That's right. Yeah, we could quite easily.
I mean, me and Matt do that anyway.
Yeah, we do. Yeah.
No, it's very good actually. Enjoy it.
I'll save you the fiver after.
Yeah.
We're delighted now to be joined by Roy Oliver for our favourite segment of the podcast, although we're not meant to have favourites, we do. Roy remembers. How are you, Roy?
I'm fine, thank you. Matt and Josh, very cool.
Good to hear. We always like to talk to you about the matches and fixtures and what you've seen and what you're looking forward to before we get to the history element of it. So you were at Solihull and you were also at the Relocatum Community Stadium on Tuesday as we hosted Eastleigh. What are your thoughts on those two?
I thought it was a fair result at Solihull. We had a nightmare getting there. Everything going wrong on the roads. And we ended up about 2 miles away from the ground. We walked it, and then Andy flagged down his car, which took me and John the rest of the way, and they walked. So they missed about 10 minutes of the game. A fair result. I think both teams sort of didn't want to lose. And considering we had quite a few changes, and then we had a few other changes. Louis went off, and so it gave a chance to some of the other young lads. Lewis Lee, I thought, played very, very well. And Kido Hart, I think he played well as well. And it shows you the depth of the squad. And Tuesday night against Eastleigh, it was 1-0, but it could have been 4-5 quite easily. But you always had that nightmare, and I thought Lewis had an extremely good game. He looked really competent in midfield there and spraying the ball around. But you always felt that last few minutes that they were going to snatch an equaliser, but we held out and were justified good winners.
Very fair assessment of things, I think, there, Roy.
Yeah.
You're looking forward to the visit of Gateshead on Saturday, who are third in the table. Level on points with us, but with a superior goal difference. Sure to be a good game.
Absolutely, yes. So we got to be at our best on Saturday and just consolidate what we've been doing at the moment. And I'm sure that Andy and Danny have got a team all set up for Saturday against Gateshead. And it promises to be a good game. And we've got a bit of good fortune, we will come out winners. And I'm absolutely sure about that.
Fingers crossed, Roy. Yeah. Fingers crossed. Anyway, on to the history corner now for Roy Remembers.
Yeah.
And what have you got for us today?
So it's 1947-48, and it's Bromley 3 Reading in the FA Cup. And we drew 3-3 down at Bromley, and the crowd was over 8,000 down here. George Brown scored 2. And Hopper scored a brilliant one from about 40 yards, which screamed into the net, free kick. He said it was 6 yards inside the half.
Wow.
So he's really hit the ball and it's gone quite low. But the game we dominated, and we had a player called Bill Whittaker, who played for Brentford and Blackpool and was a full international as well, playing for Bromley. He played quite a few games for Bromley. So, yeah, so they dominated the game with Bitter and Fright dominating the midfield. We went 3-2 down, but we managed to get an equaliser in extra time. So, and then we went to Reading, and the gate was 15,257.
I can never imagine these attendances. When you bring in all of what you've got here, we'll talk about that in a minute.
Yeah.
And you tell us the attendances at these fixtures, you know, during that period.
Yeah.
It's always so hard to believe because it went from that to, you know, virtually nothing, very low, and now it's started to build back up again. But it's just interesting, the trend there.
Yeah, yeah. I think the key behind it, every football team will go through this up and down in their time. And people will also support a team that's playing good football. And if they're particularly winning as well, that is as a bonus, you know. So football supporters are quite fickle at heart, really. I've known supporters like, you come at the end and say, oh, well, we lost two games on a trot. I'm not coming down here again this season. You know, the moaners and the groaners. The gate receipts for that game were £1,356, 12 shillings and sixpence. And Bromley's share of the gate was probably between £400 or £500 for that game. But in 1947-48, £500 was a lot of money. So, yeah. But we lost 3-0 in the replay.
Oh.
Yeah, so. But the first game we should have won, possibly. Reports said we were well on top. And they kept getting goals against sort of run of play.
One of those days.
Yeah, we have lots of them days.
We have had a few, haven't we? We have had a few.
Yeah.
And what have you got here? I can see you've got some clippings and notes and various bits and bobs.
Yeah, so you've got the match reports from the home and the away game and cartoons as well, which they used to bring out in them days.
Are they actually Bromley cartoons? They're Bromley players?
Yes. So
the non-league paper need to get at this.
Yeah. There was a guy in the papers called Sid Jordan, and he did loads of them over the years. And not only doing the football ones, he would do the cricket ones and other sports as well.
But there are Bromley players in a cartoon format. That's unbelievable.
Yeah. So you've got the home game and then the away game, both cartoons.
So is that kind of like a timeline, like a storyboard of the game in cartoon form?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
I thought match reports were innovative nowadays with websites and video integration and all of this, but this, they're out of the game here.
Yeah. And it'll show little caricatures of the players as well.
That is incredible.
Yeah. So
the coverage was so good.
And I've got the home programme.
Wow.
And the away programme at Reading.
The home one's better, isn't it?
Yeah, yes. Yeah.
Much bigger and better.
Yes, yeah. And you learn so much from me because, you know, I think I probably read up about Bill Whittaker years ago, but you forget sometimes and it refreshes your memory when you get them out.
Well, you've got a lot of stuff in your archive and
all
kinds of programmes and team sheets and newspaper clippings. And is there anything you don't have?
Yes, lots of stuff.
You're working towards closing that gap, aren't you?
Yeah. A few years ago, a guy came into the ground and he knew the Knoll brothers who played from Bromley from the early 1900s. In fact, I've got a medal when one of them was Player of the Year in 1901. And he said, I know the Knoll family because they moved to South Africa. I think they both passed away, but the relative was still alive in South Africa and she wants to get rid of these medals. But unfortunately, the major ones, like the London Senior Cup, the league ones for the Spartan League, the Tuishman League, and the Yamato Cup medal were not with them. But I've got a few other medals.
You're working your way through that collection and
finding
the little gaps and filling them, aren't you?
Yeah, I often wonder some of the old players, where have their medals gone? I know, for example, with George Brown, the amount of medals he won, they were going to be kept in the family and never be allowed to sold. They had to be kept in the family, which is absolutely right, isn't it?
Rightly so.
Yeah. Right. In 1999, I did an exhibition at the Churchill for 2 months. And it was well publicised. And I did the whole cup run of that year when we won the Amateur Cup. So, and I had George Brown's medal.
Is there anything you haven't done, Bromley yeah. related?
Played it
yeah.
right back.
Yeah, that's it, yeah, 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 yeah. I played that on a pitch.
Roy, it's always such a pleasure to hear from you. Yeah. We're looking forward to having you at the quiz night again tonight.
Yes.
And best of luck. Thank I have you. To be impartial, but best
we,
of luck.
We need good luck.
Yeah, I was just going to add that yeah. bit in, you know. Yeah. It's not you, Roy. I think your teammates are, you know, letting you down here a little
yeah.
bit.
Yeah, well, we've got Mick Smith in our team tonight.
Oh, well, then you're guaranteed yeah. a win.
Yeah.
Guaranteed a win.
John Richardson couldn't make it, and all because Ian Pettifer, they couldn't make it. So, and I've messaged Dave because he said he had a couple of people would like to be in our team, so...
Well, there we go. And it's Oliver's Army, isn't it?
Oliver's Army, yes.
There we go. Well, yeah. good luck tonight. Looking forward to it. Roy, thanks again for your time.
Cheers, Matt. Thank you, Josh.
Next up, we talk about it each year, and each year it seems to be a success. So fingers crossed it's going to be the same this year. And that is, of course, the FA Youth Cup. And this time, Bromley are pitted up against Tunbridge Angels away, and that will take place on Monday, the 2nd of October. Details for that one are available on the website, bromleyfc.co.uk. Best of luck to the young team, and it's Luke Coulson leading them out, isn't it?
Apparently so.
Good luck to Luke Coulson. Good luck to everybody involved in that. It's always a fantastic competition to keep an eye on, not only in terms of the results, but actually the young talent that's coming through the teams, and there's sure to be more talent coming through. We look back at years gone past. Liam Vincent, Ben Crowhouse, Kellen Fisher, Sol Cader all came through those FA Youth Cup teams. And I'm sure, Josh, that this is going to be no exception. There's some serious names that I've just mentioned there.
Yeah, and even last season we had Frankie Vidd, didn't we? He's now gone off to Millwall. But yeah, we played Tunbridge last year, didn't we?
We did, yes.
4-2.
Yes, we did. And we play them again, this time at the Longmead Stadium. So best of luck to Luke Coulson and the young Bromley team. And we'll, of course, bring you a result from there and details as well.
Speaking of Monday, we've also got the FA Cup draw.
We do indeed, and that will be at 3:15 p.m. and that will be live on TalkSport 2, or should I say from 3:15, because of course there's a lot of discussion around it.
So, and 3:45
usually Bromley's number comes out quite late on, but yeah, very exciting. The ties will be to be played of the weekend of the 14th of October, so we very much look forward to that and finding out who Bromley will be
who
playing.
Who do you want, Matt?
I genuinely don't know, because you go for a smaller, so-called smaller, lower league team, and they're capable of pulling something out of the bag.
I mean, you know, it was obviously last year.
I'd like a nice local away trip, personally, or a nice local home derby, maybe, to kick things off. But we need to get to the second round this year. That is the challenge. That would be brilliant. That would be really good.
I mean, they're in it on Saturday, aren't they?
Yes.
So
you yeah.
have to win that first. Yep.
We'll see.
I don't know. Obviously, last year wasn't great, but the year before we went to Hungerford, didn't we?
We did, yes, yeah.
That was good.
That was good. That was a good game, that, actually. And a very close one at that.
Yeah, it was. I thought it was going to a replay.
Yeah. It didn't quite in the end. But anyway, stay tuned for that. Of course, Josh, you'll be bringing it to everybody on Twitter and across the social media and website as well. So we look forward to that. Just a couple of loan updates for you since we recorded last. Sam German has headed out on loan to Herne Bay on a short-term month-long loan. So best of luck to him. And Marcus Sablier has gone out on loan to Lewis until the end of January. And again, that's brilliant for him. He got in the team on Tuesday night, started and actually got an assist. And I've seen the goal. It was a really good goal as well. Marcus looking lively and doing very, very well.
I think
so
he scored for the 21s on Friday, so he's in.
He's in good form. He is in good form. Best of luck to Marcus. Moving on, and we're going to bring another guest into the podcast now to talk about the Corporate Cup, to talk about the Bromley FC Executive Club and Ravens Lounge on a match day, and all things sponsorship and partnerships. Here is Mr. Mick Livesey.
Mick Livesey, welcome to Ravens Weekly. How has your week been?
It's been fantastic, Josh. It's been busy, as always, but super, super exciting.
And how have you found the start to the season so far?
Listen, I can't believe that we're only where we are in the season. It seems like we're a lot further on. I think pre-season was pretty brutal. And yeah, it feels like we're much further down the line than what we actually are. But no, it's all good.
And obviously, the focus is on Saturday's game against Gateshead, but tomorrow we've actually got another match at Bromley FC. Could you elaborate?
Yeah, no, we've got the Corporate Cup. So it's all of our sponsors coming together. A great day. Will, the head of food and beverage, and all his team will put on a great show. We'll be in Burr Island. We'll get the beer flowing. We'll get the barbecue fired up. We'll have a few beers. Not too many, because some of us are, well, most of us have got a big day on the Saturday with Gateshead. But yeah, we're going to have a lot of fun, and we're going to see our sponsors playing on the pitch and enjoying themselves. Networking as well, hopefully. Playing football, doing business. Eating and drinking. It's going to be a good day, Josh.
And obviously last time it was really good. Obviously the rain didn't really help, you know, the day, but it was a really enjoyable day. How important are events like that to the club?
Well, one of the first things that I did that Robin, the chairman, wanted was to put on a list of partner events, a calendar of events, which we've done. You know, some of them are more popular than others. Drinks with Chairman is always a popular one. The next one on that is in October, but the chairman foots the bill and our sponsors come and network and have a drink with the chairman and our CEO, Mark Hammond. And yeah, we do just network and do business. I think what we're doing is we've got a really big, thriving business community now. We've got way over 100 sponsorship deals done this season, which, you know, I believe will be like make us the busiest in the National League by quite a way. You know, so we've got a lot of businesses. We've got a thriving business community. What we want to do is build on that. If we keep attracting new businesses and keep looking after our existing partners and doing renewals, the future is very, very bright indeed.
And obviously, we spoke about Saturday. What is your role on the match day?
I do everything apart from play. No, joking.
You don't stadium announcer.
Yeah, no, I don't stadium announce. That's down to a Mr. Community. Yeah, we'll leave him to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, look there. Listen, massive contribution from Mac.
There
Mac,
we go. Yeah. It's just what you come to expect, isn't it?
So we're running the Ravens Lounge, which is sold out now every week, which is completely turned around pre-season. Judged from last season, we increased it by 480%, which is phenomenal. The exec club is super, super busy. You know, we're going to be busy up there again on Saturday, so we're doing interviews, introductions, that sort of thing, making sure everybody has a fantastic time. Hospitality at Bromley Football Club, this is your gateway. A ticket for hospitality is your gateway to premium Bromley Football Club experience, and that's what it's all about. It's all about making sure that we're going to be not just playing host on match days, but this is the venue to come and celebrate your special occasions, you know, get behind the team, and yeah, just really have a really good time in comfortable surroundings, eat quality food and watch quality football.
And obviously, a lot of supporters know the Ravens Lounge as the Ravens Bar and have probably not gone back since the whole rebrand of it all. What would you say to those people that haven't yet experienced the Ravens Lounge?
Listen, get in there quickly for starters, because it does sell out every week. You know, we're at capacity every week. So, you know, it's £5 to upgrade. Or we have members that are taking out season-long passes. I think we're going to look at what we do next season. There'll be some exciting things. I've got to sit down with Mark and Robin, but I've got tons and tons of ideas of how we can do things and how we can build on this. But yeah, get involved. It's very different though now. So just give you an example. You can pre-book booths, pre-book tables. We have waiter services. You know, you can pre-order off-time drinks. They're waiting for you on your table when you get back. You're not queuing. You're not in the hustle. You're not in the bustle. You want ordered food at off-time. Of course, we turn it into the Pie Mash and Liquor Lounge. And yeah, we're selling Pie Mash and Liquor until it goes. We're selling out of that every week. It's really, really popular. It's the, you know, it's the place to be. And then premium hospitality upstairs is we're taking that to a completely new level. You know, we're looking at everything that we do all the time. We're always looking and striving to improve. And like I said, you know, it's about providing a quality premium experience at Bromley Football Club when you come. So we cater for everybody. If you want a hot dog, we cater for you. If you want fine dining, we cater for you. I want us to be the football club for everybody. No matter what you want, we should be able to deliver it for you.
And obviously, as well, we've seen a fair few interviews as well in both the Exec Club and Ravens Lounge. That's sort of, that adds to the whole experience, doesn't it? Obviously, the players that aren't involved in the game, they'll come up and, you know, chat to the fans, chat to the people that have booked the tables. How good is that to see the lads up there?
It's phenomenal. I think all the players and the management and everything, all of us, listen, we're one big family. I know it sounds a bit cliche and a bit cheesy, but we really are. We eat our breakfast and lunch together every day. It's brought everybody a lot closer. You're speaking to people all the time. And, yeah, we are genuinely one team on and off the pitch. And, you know, this is the most exciting thing for me, because on and off the pitch, we've got a group of people that all have one ambition, and that is to make history at this football club. And when everybody pushes in the same direction, it's unbelievable what can happen. The spirit at this football club, what we're seeing unfold before our very eyes, is super, super exciting. I've been in this game a long time. I'm getting old. I'm getting, you know, this is my 33rd season. I look at this. This is the most exciting thing I've ever been involved in, probably. You know, you look at it, it is super, super exciting. And to play such a small part in that and see it unfold, you know, really does make me feel very, very proud to be here and very proud to be involved. I've fallen in love with this football club and the people here.
And obviously the main reason why you're on today is for tomorrow. Could you give us a little insight into who's playing in tomorrow's Corporate Cup?
Yeah, we have 16 teams. I think we're down to 15 now. Hopefully all 15 take part. But yeah, like I said, it's our sponsors. Sinapre will be there, the reigning champions. Everyone, those are the teams that they got to beat. But listen, it's great. We've got Bristol Street Motors coming down. You know, new teams, new sponsors. I don't remember Bristol Street Motors playing in this before. Like I said, we've 15 of our sponsors there. It's going to be great. It's going to be a fantastic event. I think if you were asking me who's going to win, are we pricing this up, Josh? Is there a market on this or something? I think, you know, listen, Sinapre will take some beating, but you know, you just never know. I think the A Plan and Beckenham Interiors have kind of moulded a team together. And I don't know how Ben Tuvey has got involved, but I think he's playing for that team. I don't know how he works. He doesn't work for A Plan or Beckenham Interiors, but he seems to have got himself a shirt. So, listen, there's a little bit of transfer deadline day going on there. There's people making moves and stuff. It's going to be exciting. It's going to be fun. And most important of all, like I say, it's about coming together and enjoying the day. And there'll be lots of smiles. And, listen, may the best team on the day win.
And obviously, looking forward to the future for you personally and for your department, what does the future look like?
Listen, it is so, so exciting. It really, really is. You know, we're bringing in record numbers of new businesses, but most importantly of all is we're keeping and retaining the ones that we've got. We're forging super strong business relationships, but more than that, we're forging friendships. Like I said to you, is, you know, I've been at a lot of football clubs, probably too many football clubs, if you want to be honest. I've probably been at too many. There's always felt to me like there was something missing. I never felt like I was at home. I never felt I could really be myself. One thing that Robin and Mark have allowed me to do is to be myself. They've allowed me to be Mick Livesey. And I've never felt more at home than I do here. You know, I live next to Bromley South Station. So I moved here lock, stock and barrel. I've never been as happy as I am at any football club. And I think when you get an happy Mick Livesey and you get a Mick Livesey that he's focused, listen, one thing I've always been good at throughout my career is selling. And, you know, we're selling sponsorships and partnerships at record levels now at this football club. And the most important, you see me smiling, you keep that smile on my face, record levels will break record year after year after year. I'm happy and I'm in a really, really good place personally. You know, after a lot of personal tragedy, I'm in a great place. I've come here to play my part in building this football club, but also I've come here to build a new and exciting life for me, and I'm doing that. And, yeah, I can't ever remember being this happy. So I owe Robin a lot. I owe Mark a lot. I love working with you guys, and you know, you see, we have a laugh here. We have a lot of banter at this, but we have a dressing room sort of culture within the office, which is good. But we're professional when we need to be. But yeah, you always see me smiling, and when you see me smiling, that means good things are going to happen. And while I'm smiling, they always will.
Brilliant. Well, thank you for joining us this afternoon, Mick. And, yeah, all the best for tomorrow.
Listen, thank you, and it's a pleasure. And thank you for everything you do, the support of the media team, the support of the community. We're all in this together. You know, we may sell the stuff, But without everything else going on behind it, all the team from cleaners right through to the very top, everybody plays a part in this. It's one team, one football club.
So, of course, turning our attentions to Saturday, Bromley play host to Gateshead, as we previewed earlier on, and it's sure to be an entertaining game between two of the form sides in the division. Make sure you're here at the Relocatum Community Stadium. It's kick-off 3 p.m, and of course, you can get your tickets online at bromleyfc.co.uk or in the club shop. Remember that prices rise on the midnight of the day before the game. So they go up by £2 as of 1 minute into Saturday morning. It's not only Saturday that we're looking forward to, it's also Sunday as we host our celebrity charity game here at the Relocatum Community Stadium, and that is in aid of the Jack Jeffries Superhero Trust, which is a brilliant charity caring for children with cancer or other life-threatening conditions. And there's a whole host of celebrities lined up to feature, so you can get your tickets for that one and find out more information via our website bromleyfc.co.uk. And of course, Sunday is a big day for the Bromley women, who take on Welling United in the FA Cup. They beat Sevenoaks Town convincingly in the last round. Despite being a player down for most of the game, they take on local rivals Welling United this Sunday, and that one is sure to be an entertaining game. So best of luck to all of the players. Best of luck to Dave and Steve and the whole management team. This is a fantastic squad of players we've got at Bromley Women this season, and I have full belief that they're going to go and do this, and we are wishing them all the very best, and we can't wait to hopefully see them progress to the next round. Finally, before we finish today's podcast, we've got an evening with Jimmy Bullard coming up at Broomfield's Bar and Kitchen. That's taking place on Thursday, the 2nd of November, between 6 and 11 p.m. And you can get your tickets online. Again, visit the website for that one, bromleyfc.co.uk. Jimmy Bullard is coming to Bromley FC. Really exciting. Really looking forward to that. Thank you to all of you. The Bulldog, that's the one. Thank you to all of you who've tuned in. Josh, thank you for joining me as always. And a particularly thank you to everyone who's still with us at this point. Really appreciate all of your support and kind comments. And we can't wait to be back with you next week. Until then, have a good one and take care. You could have been following the champions of the Champions League. You could have been. What's all this stuff you're giving us? There's just one team for me, and that's the town.